Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Imagine living your whole life in a city where you don't speak the language. Then, with the flip of a switch, you suddenly understand everything. How would it feel? Well, something kind of like that happened to John Elder Robison of Springfield, Massachusetts. Except in his case, Robison was suddenly able to understand emotions, and it was overwhelming. See, Robison has Asperger's syndrome, and he's always had profound difficulty reading other people's emotions. In 2007, he wrote a book about it called Look Me in the Eye, and that brought him to the attention of researchers at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, who asked him, "Hey, we have this experimental brain therapy. It could turn on your ability to read emotions. Do you want to try?" Well, Robison said yes. And he writes about what happened next in Switched On, a memoir of brain change and emotional awakening. When we talked with him, I asked John Elder Robison to tell us first about what it was like growing up with Asperger's.
Well, you can't really know what you can't see when you can't see it. So the thing is, all through my childhood, I knew I was different from other kids. Other kids told me I was stupid or mental or, you know, they just didn't want to play with me. So I knew that I was missing some component that made me unacceptable. And then when I grew up, I felt that I was less than other people as a result of the way I grew up.
Yeah. Well, despite that profound challenge that you had, you had a very successful auto repair shop, a profound mechanical aptitude. I mean, you invented the fire-spewing guitars that Kiss is known for now. So, you were nevertheless successful in your own way.
Remember when I grew up in the 1960s, there were no disability supports for people like me, autistic people who could speak. And it never occurred to me that I would not go out and try and make a living in the world. And indeed, even though autism crippled me socially and made me isolated and alone, I spent that alone time using this autistic concentration to concentrate on electronics and mechanics, and that made me a star as an engineer and mechanic.
Yeah. When you received this invitation from Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center to participate in some innovative brain treatments, what was your first reaction?
Well, the first thing I thought was it was just really cool because Lindsay, who looked like a grad student, you know, she's really quite a lot younger than me, and she came up to me when I was speaking at a university, and she said that they were interested in using pulses of high-powered magnetic energy to change the way our brains are wired. And I had worked in electronics with high-powered electromagnetic energy. That's what we use to drive speakers. And so in my jobs, I had used the technology that she was proposing to use, and therefore I understood it and it wasn't scary. And I thought the idea that we could use that to couple signals into the brain, that's kind of remarkable.
So it seems so totally appropriate that you recognize the potential of the experiment from the get-go. But had you ever thought?
Well, it's because I'm a geek, you know, and I was familiar with it.
And a delightful one at that. But so the experiment involved transcranial magnetic stimulation. And as you describe in the book, it's an electromagnetic field used to induce signals in the outer layers of the brain, hoping to essentially turn on or rebalance parts of the brain that were previously out of balance.
Well, the idea is that you would use the principle of electromagnetic induction to deliver energy to small areas of the brain, areas the size of, say, a golf ball, without affecting the rest of the brain. And it's funny because I told my friends about this before I started the study, and they said, "You're crazy to do this. They're gonna zap you and burn your brain up." And everyone thought I was nuts, but I just thought it was just so incredibly fascinating. I never had a moment of fear.
So tell me more. I mean, what was it like when you were actually undergoing the transcranial magnetic stimulation?
Well, you know, it was really cool. They had told me that the brain doesn't have pain or pleasure receptors, so they said your brain won't feel anything with the stimulation, but you might feel a little bit of a pop from the muscles and stuff and the nerves on the top of your scalp. The coil that did the stimulating was a thing sort of like a good-sized coffee cup. And they would set that on your head, and it would go tap, tap, tap once a second. But what was really weird was even though I didn't feel it inside my head, I could feel it because I'd be like thinking, oh, I got to go get groceries when I leave here. I'm going to count TMS pulses. And I got 1, 2, 3, 4. And then I would just lose my train of thought. I couldn't keep a thought in my head while they did TMS. It just put my mind into kind of a meditative state.
Well, I'm speaking with John Elder Robison. His new book is Switched On, a memoir of brain change and emotional awakening. And he's describing to us this experimental treatment that he received at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston that attempted to turn on an emotional awareness that he hadn't had before in life due to Asperger's syndrome. So, John, now comes the big moment. I mean, how long did it take for you to begin to experience an emotional awakening?
I did one stimulation, and I thought nothing had happened to me. And I came out of the hospital, and I got my car to drive home, and I turned on my music player, and I play a lot of times old concert performances and stuff like that, you know, because, like, I'm old and I listen to, you know, the old music. And instead of it being like it had been 1,000 times before, it was like all of a sudden the music was alive. It was like I was back there again and I could hear all this detail and I could see it. It was just like I was transported back in time, and it was the most overwhelming thing. It was just so emotional. It made me cry all the way home. I couldn't believe what had happened to me. It was like magic. TMS just switched it on and it worked. And what can one conclude from that except that the wiring to be these different ways was in my head the whole time.
Uh-huh.
And that's a very, very empowering idea.
Wow. So you're describing a reaction that the TMS treatment engendered in you in reaction to music. What about people? Suddenly, were you able to read people in a way you hadn't been before?
That was really, really powerful, too. It was like suddenly I walked into my work with the people around me, and it was like I had ESP, and I was actually overcome by the stream of emotion from all the people around me. It was actually, even though I had thought that being blind to emotion was a disability for me, having that wave of emotion of everyone wash over me, that was crippling to me.
Uh-huh.
And it was incredible.
It's like a tsunami, really, almost more than a wave, because all of a sudden every single person around you is transmitting this information, this emotional information that you had never been bombarded with before.
I had constructed this fantasy in my mind about disability, and I had thought to myself, well, because I can't see or I can't read unspoken cues from other people, then I am missing all of these messages of beauty and sweetness and light. And if only I could see those things, my life would be immeasurably better. But when the ability to see into people came on, I didn't see beauty and love and sweetness and light. I saw anxiety and fear and avarice and all these other downer emotions. And I guess now I realize that that's probably the prevailing emotional tone in most places.
Yeah, because we all are human beings, aren't we? And it's the complexity of
human. And I guess, yeah. I mean, I thought I'm anxious, but I guess everyone else is anxious too. And when you can, like, see it in everyone around you, boy, it really gets you.
Was it hard to make it through the day when all of a sudden you were kind of drowning in this new sea of human emotion all around you?
It was really exhausting. And it was exhausting for a long time. They told me that the effects of TMS would be temporary. And the effects of that particular stimulation stayed with me for years. And one of the other fellows who was in the study with me, he said to me, I used to look forward to Sunday, and I'd pick up the magazine section of the paper, and I'd read all the stories. And he says, now I dread the stories because they make me cry. And it's like it turned on this ability not just to read emotion from people's eyes, but to extract emotion from words on a page. It's the most amazing thing how that changed in us.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that it's the most amazing thing, because on the tip of my tongue, there's this question of whether or not you're glad you did the treatments, because it sounds like the aftermath of some of it was quite overwhelming.
The aftermath was absolutely overwhelming. I had some really, really hard times. I was driven to be almost suicidal. My marriage fell apart. I embarked on a disastrous relationship after that, and it took 5 years for me to be remarried and stable and settle down again. I had tremendous upheaval, so I would not say that I have no regrets, but I would say that I believe really with all my heart in the power of what they're doing, and I think that it's a really, really transformative thing.
John, I'm just thinking about what you just said, because your marriage suffered. You even lost at least one close friend.
That's true. You know, so many of my memories are ruined because I now remember times that people were laughing, but thanks to TMS, I realized they were laughing at me.
That's got to hurt. You know, I'm sorry, John, because I feel it pains me to hear you say that, because we started this conversation with you saying...
Well, it does hurt.
Yeah.
I agree it hurts.
Yeah, because we started this conversation with you saying that, you know, you remember how painful it was growing up, and it feels like you were just like reliving in a brand new way that pain all over again as an adult after the treatment.
I guess I feel like my ability to engage other people, especially people who don't know me, is really fundamentally transformed today. And I don't think that TMS is 100% responsible for that. Certainly I've had, you know, practice and stuff at doing it these last 10 years, but I think that it was a significant thing. And I look at the autism advocacy that has kind of taken over my life, all the time I spent talking to folks like you, writing about it, speaking about it. And, you know, and even though I couldn't feel emotion, I can feel pride that that's like the greatest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
You know, it almost makes me cry, you know, to think of it. But I hurt so much as a little boy. And I wanted so much in my book, Look Me in the Eye, to share a message of hope with young people that they could grow up and life could be okay. And with this experiment that I took part in, this showed me that it can be real. It can happen. And not just for me. It can happen for so many other people that are affected in different ways as we learn how to use this. And so even though I've been hurt by the memories, it means so much to me for that hope it offers.
Yeah.
And that's why I do it, I guess.
Countless people.
Sorry if I seem discomposed at that, but.
John, no apologies. Do you promise? No apologies, because that's what human emotions are, right? We are all complex.
This wouldn't have happened to me 10 years ago.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you don't just get to choose only the good emotions, right? No one gets to choose. We experience the whole gamut of them, all of us. And the fact that you're able to talk so beautifully about your experiences means a tremendous amount, a tremendous amount. So let me just ask you finally, a lot of what we talked about regarded immediate changes that you felt. I mean, have a lot of them lasted a long time after that?
Well, the direct changes from TMS tended to fade away pretty quickly. But one of the analogies I draw in my book is imagine that you're colorblind and you see the world in black and white, and suddenly a scientist switches on color vision for you. And you only see color for a day or two, But forevermore, your world is going to be different because you're going to know that those colors are out there and they're real. And also, I think that I have a much higher level of emotional response as you, I guess, just elicited asking me questions that would have never been there for me before.
You know, in just talking with you, John, I'm feeling intensely human myself right now. I should say that John Elder Robison's new book is called Switched On, A Memoir of Brain Change and Emotional Awakening. Thank you, John, for speaking with me.
Well, thank you for calling and wanting to do the interview. I wonder what people are going to make of this story when they hear it.
I guarantee we'll be hearing from them, I'm sure.
You know, it's like, the thing is, it's like science fiction, but it's real.
Indeed it is. That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.